As well as the double thing. Let me just say a word.
Yeah, please.
Come down from the Ezra's Nusha. We don't need to do the Ezra's Nusha. Just one second. Just a minute. I hope everybody read the sign. I'm not going to review the biography. Of our very distinguished and old guest speaker and an old friend of Rabbi Hirschfeld and of mine from the days of Mir and over the years, most of the Rebbeim. So it's really a great honor and pleasure to have Rabbi Lapiansky, who's a tremendous mashpia in America. Any of our Talmidim who go back to the Washington, D.C. area, so they are right away connected with Rabbi Lapiansky, and we're really very honored that he takes from his very busy schedule to share his always inspiring and deep words of Torah with us.
And one of the things I'm always kind of very nisragish, besides over the years many people have learned to have come to live in the Washington area, and there always are very, very strong pillars of the Kehillah. I learned the Mir way back when with the founders of the yeshiva, and I keep thinking to myself, Reb Nochum's and Reb Chaim's learning were very focused for a very intense yeshiva learning, and the Mir wasn't wonderfully intense yeshiva, it is a wonderful yeshiva, but the Peiris in a place like this, at first glance, is so different than the Mir. The people coming to learn, the type of inyanim have to be discussed, so much is different, but there's something about the flavor of the yeshiva that expresses itself here that you feel it. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah in 70 languages, a silly way to picture it is he wrote it up in 70 languages and put it away someplace. He gave Torah the ability to speak in different languages and still be Torah's emes. Usually a translation loses a lot more than the exact meaning. Worse than that is it loses some of the inner neshama, the chiyus. And we think about whether it's the approach to the closest approach to Yiddishkeit, way to learn, what tools should a person use to bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the centrality of learning to that process. So many of those things are something which it's a language so different than the mere language, and yet once you taste it, you get a sense that a lot of it, the pashtos, the not focused on the details but understanding what the core is about, and Shema things, and it always amazes me when I see the Tzibur, the Arlam, and so on. So it's Be'ez Hashem should keep that Tzlocha and bringing the Torah to the furthest corners of Klal Yisrael. There's a Chazal here I would like to talk about a bit. In the Torah here, we have described the first description of a revelation, of a gilui. We know Avram Avinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram, but there is no discussion in the Torah of how it came about. It starts, Lech Lecha, and that's it. That's where we start from. So we don't really have any Torah describing how did that come about. Here we have the snare is actually a description of how it came to being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, revealed himself. In other words, a description of revelation. And therefore, much of what's over here should be learned and studied in terms of the different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to a person, and more specifically, how he connects at first, which we would call that emuna and the ratios of a connection. Chazal says something that is extraordinarily strange. It says, Vayoma, Kodesh Baruch Hu introduced himself. Onochi Elokei Avicha. I am the God of your father. So Chazal understood it was a direct reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's father rather than the Avos. And Chazal also understood that if he introduces himself as Elokei Avicha, it must be that Moshe is a youth. That seems to be underlying. Hahudichsiv. So Chazal said this fits well with a pasuk in Mishlei, Pesi Yamin Lechol Dava. A fool believes anything. Mau Pesi, what's a fool? Nar, a young person. Shekein Barvaya Kor Lenar Pesya. A young person is called a Pesi in Arabic. Now, I don't know Arabic well enough. My assumption is that if an Arabic Nar is called a Pesi, it hasn't turned into a complimentary term. It's like saying in our language we call a teenager an idiot. Right. So it's not because it took on a new and beautiful meaning and a positive meaning. It's just a synonym that fits well. So Pesi means a fool. A Nar is rarely, there are one, two psukim where nar is solkei aveyu, where nar is complimentary, but by Yosef, him being a nar, that it seemed to have, Maisa Nairus, Sfarnus says that he was very smart, but he was inexperienced. Nar is not complimentary. Pesi is certainly very derogatory. So, Hahudachsim, that's it. That's one pshat. So, Noche Kelvicha, he is the concept of a pesem called dava being a nar, that fits well. Two, dava acha, another meaning of pesi, ein pesi aloshen pitui. It could mean pitui is seduction, when I tempt somebody to do something wrong by offering something else. Kimode teima, like says v'chifate ish. Those are two meanings of the word pesi. Two understandings. So Pesi Am Choldov, a fool believes everything. It either means he's young, inexperienced, or it means he's been seduced. Two meanings that are very negative. Om Ebshua Koyim Bar Nechemya, B'shar Shenigla Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Moshe, Tiron Hayim Moshe L'Nevua. Moshe was very inexperienced with prophecy at this point. He never had prophecy. Om Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Im nigla li an lav bekoil gadol ani mivaso. If I am going to reveal myself with a big boom, like we would imagine a nevuah to come with a huge thunderstorm and a great light, I'm going to frighten him. Bekol namuch, if I come with a low voice, boisahu al nevuah. He's inexperienced. He's never had nevuah. He's not going to think it's a nevuah. It's just a regular sound like anything else. Ma also, what did he do? Nigla lav bekolo shel aviv. He came with his father's voice. Oma Moshe hineni ma ben vakesh. He was so taken in by this. He said, "Abba, what do you want?" Oma kadosh brocha in avicha, not your father, lekei avicha. Bepitu bas elokeshari. I came through a seductive method so that you not be overwhelmed and frightened. This Chazal. It is incredible. No idea where it's coming from, what it means, what is it telling us. It definitely doesn't even, it sounds kind of negative, certainly not a compliment anyway. And this is what we're talking about, Moshe Rabbeinu's first Gilui Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are Chazal teaching us here? So let's think a little bit about it, and let's understand it a bit. I want to explain each one of these points, passages, and then try to understand what it is that Chazal are telling us, and they both complement each other in a way that goes to the heart of what we're talking about. The way in which we relate, in other words, revelation in the sense of a picture is obviously not what we're talking about. Revelation in the sense of a clear sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For us, We'll call that emunah. Emunah is not an intellectual argument that therefore QED this and this. It's an awareness of something which somebody, let's say somebody will come and ask any of us, do you believe in gravity? I'll say, of course. They say, well, did you ever see it, smell it, taste it? Can you explain it? Can you explain what it is? The answer is 000. But our experiences have been so many times, so consistent, that our hand reacts when something is over there, we grab it because it's going to fall. It's even though it's not visible to the senses, but our grasp of it is something as real and as solid as something which our senses. So just like if I see something here, I am not going to walk into it because my eye tells me there's something here. If there's a sharp drop, I am going to be careful because my sense of gravity is if I walk, I'm not going to keep walking in the air, I'm going to fall. So we can develop a sense of the unsensed, of the unpalpable, could become to us as real as that which is palpable. That is the core of what emunah is. And the truth is, even prophecy is not the pictures we see. It's the sense that it's as real as a person talking. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says an incredible point about the Akedah. He says, what does the Akedah teach us? It has two or three points. One of those points is as follows. Imagine we had a vision where Hashem came to us and said, take your only son that I promised you and bring him as a sacrifice. Our first act would be, you know, I really need that vacation. That, you know, I know now. I'm hallucinating. I'm past of sanity. I need to take it easy. That's how a person would feel. It would feel that I become unhinged. To Avraham Avinu, that never was even doubtful, because prophecy to a prophet was as tangible and as real as this is to me. Could a person imagine things? Yes, but that's. If I come to understand that I'm hallucinating, I stop functioning. I'm gone. If I can't trust any of my senses, Hashem's communication to a Navi was as real to him. There never was doubt. So that's emunah. What are the things of connecting to emunah? What are the impediments, and what's there? So the first thing is, there's a famous Rebbe Chanan, and people say it over extremely superficially. Rebbe Chanan is very famous. He writes that, he asked, how can people be held accountable for emunah when so many people struggled with it, and such great geniuses? And he says it's really simple, it's just people have negias and taivas and so on and so forth. People quote it as that, and it's not a reasonable argument if it's quoted like that. There are some people that are really good people, so does the person have, I don't know. What Rebbe Chanan is something much deeper. And what it means is, we view things through the layers of experience and what we are, what we have, and everything. There is no such thing as an objective view, because we are subjective people. We see everything through our eyes. There's no way around. It's just like, I can never say this is white light. All I can say is, this light appears to my eyes as white and to many people. My eyes consist of something. They have a lens, and the lens imparts something to this. Maybe it imparts a whiteness to it. Maybe it doesn't. I have the nerves, the brain interprets it. Everything, all I can say is, it looks to me white, but that's it. This is true about everything we see and experience. We tend to do it through our... The earlier a person, the earlier experiences of a person have a much stronger, they're much more objective, because they are coming through the early layers of his person. There hasn't been much. When Chazal say the difference between an older person or a younger person, the difference is because a younger person is like a clean slate versus an older person being a slate that's written and erased. We're not only talking about skills of reading and remembering and so on. We're talking about learning in a fundamental way. And that's why there's such a stress on the tahara and kedusha of children learning in a cheder, because the layer, yes, we long ago have forgotten what we learned in cheder and in lower grades and so on. We don't remember, we've changed our mind and we changed everything. Maybe, but that filter still exists. And that's one of the earliest layers of knowledge. And that's why there's such a stress on the kedusha of that kufa, on the Yerushalayim of the people, because you'll never, everything in life is going to go through that. Yes, you're able to override it and overcome it and so on, but you'll never be able to completely erase it. There's a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's a very big scientist. He's a meteorologist. He's NASA's representative. A firm person. He's NASA's representative. Like the weather patterns around Israel, he's the one. He deals with that. He would do a sabbatical and come to Silver Spring. He was there twice. He's a very firm person. But his background, he's a more you sort of modernish person, and he told me, right, he lived near the yeshiva, which was a wonderful person. He told me that he grew up in the old Jerusalem. His father sent him to Meir Sharm Cheder till fourth grade, Bedavka. It's not where he wanted him to be, but he sent him there. And then he sent him on to a more modern type of school and then university and so on. And he said his father wanted his basis to be an unadulterated Yerushalayim, an unsophisticated Yerushalayim. And it's interesting. He's a highly talented individual. His ideology would be considered somewhere in the more modern world, but a lot of his mannerism, a lot of his personality, you can see where it's rooted in. And it was fascinating to me. You think that it's of no value, third or fourth grade, that's it. So when Chazal say you're dealing with a blank slate, it's not about information you impart. It's about personality. More than anything else, that's very crucial. Nobody, when a person approaches emunah, do I believe it? If we're talking about a mathematical equation, does this work or not? There's very little personality laid about it, and I don't make the decision based on it. Emunah, you're talking about things that they're not physical things. You can't, but you need to treat it as being something that is real. If there are layers there that resist the idea of a person being beholden to a creator, the idea that a person's mind is limited, those are ideas that are extraordinary ideas. And if there are layers in the person that resist it, and there are many reasons why it resists it, it has a very hard time going in. The person needs to first understand himself and understand why I resist the idea of authority. So what Rav Chanan means is anybody that doesn't have, the less we have a preconceived personal bias, emunah would fall into place. And it's only, emunah is something that goes against the sense of self. What is the first Yetzirah that ever in the world, the first Yetzirah of eating from Eitz Hadas, the sales pitch wasn't that the fruits were delicious. The sales pitch was, Adam, you're number two, you're brilliant, your mind takes in the whole world, but there's one piece that you're missing, and if you take that piece, you become an associate to God instead of a servant to God. It's a move up the ladder. And a person was built to be accomplished, to be perfect. And what he was selling him was moving up a notch so that you're parallel to God instead of subservient to God, makes you. This is perfection. That's our core Yetzirah for a thinking person. For a person that the Yetzirah is a six-pack and a football game, blessed be you, sit with the six-pack football game, this is not relevant. But for a person who has a deep-seated instincts of Tzuras Adam, that's the Yetzirah. And that's why as long as a person has, for a person to say, for a person who's been living a life of, I understand and therefore I am, and no one can pull rank on me because I am, and say, you know, human mind is limited, ad kan, and that's it. And you have to accept that the world contains in itself the chachma that is beyond you, and you at this point are a pesi, very tough. So the first thing is the core of the gila of a person that is selfless in every sense of the word. It's, we're talking about pesi not because if a person is unwise in an area that he could be accomplished, he's an idiot. If a person recognizes his limitations and he says, Mikan ve'elech, I'm a pesi, ad kan, and from this point I'm pesi because that's what he is, that's the bedrock that a munah can rest on. The understanding of, till this point, human knowledge takes me, human understanding takes me, and from this point onwards, I'm a kabul because I'm a pesi. That's the first understanding of Chazal over here. The second one is, let's look at the teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria. It says there are three partners in a person, father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's understand that thread. Every person comes into this world and he is pre-programmed. Our minds work in a certain way. And we also have the teva, the nature, that until a person is bar mitzvah or so, he's a makabel. What his parents tell him is true. That's extraordinarily important because it's like, if I use a contemporary mashal, we have the hardware, we have the software, and we have the operating system. The hardware, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into us, and that's where we are. But the way in which we look at everything in the most basic way, the way in which we will process information, the way we will do many specific things, there's an operating system. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we absorb that from our parents and we incorporate it. A child will naturally listen and take his parents' words as being true. That's what Ramban says. Unless, God forbid, it's a very difficult family situation. But normally, that's the normal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it that way. If it wasn't that way, every single one of us would have to reinvent the wheel. If we came just with the hardware, we'd have to start, if we would contest everything. You know, we talk a lot, like in a science class, we'd like kids to ask questions. Yes, but when you tell them how to solve an equation, how do I know it's right? Who said? That line of questioning is good in graduate school, but in high school, it'll get you no place. So at the end of the day, if you have to reinvent arithmetic, you'll never get anywhere. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Bria to function, we need hardware, and we need an system that comes from somewhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the third shut of means. When a person matures, the same roadway, the same pipeline that allowed for father and mother's instruction to come in, the first entrance into a person of listening to something outside you, understanding that the racious chachma comes from someplace else, that's a koil aviv. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flow starts with Kol Aviv. He wasn't ready yet. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a pipeline in through Kol Aviv, it expands and it becomes something else. This Chazal over here is an extraordinary Chazal helping us understand ourselves, how Emunah gets anchored in our person. One, understanding the role that so much other things have. I want to tell you again. I don't want to be so specific about this point, but it's just an example. There's somebody. His name is Dr. Spetner. He was a scientist in America for many years. He worked on extraordinarily sophisticated electronic systems for missiles. Shomer Torah Mitzvah Zerei Shemayim, lived in Silver Spring, founded the yeshiva together. He was the Baal HaBayis founding of the yeshiva. He started, in its infancy, really helped it, and made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the 70s sometime. Meir Vesem, he's still alive, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful person. His children, he has two children that are extraordinary Talmidei Chachamim, and a wonderful person. He wrote a book about 15, 20 years ago about evolution, and it was called, I think, Not by Chance or Not by Chance Only, something like that. And his point was that for any person, the mathematical chance, the statistical chance of things happening the statistical chance of something happening just by itself, create this world, is what would scientifically be called impossibility. Very low-key, the minimal amount of, point that he's making, and he proves it. This is field. This is a major. He did not want it to be published by Art Scroll. He wanted to be published by a prestigious university press house, because obviously, it's very different when you read something published by your local Jewish bookstore or published by, So he gave it in, I think it was Chicago University or something like that, one of those, and they rejected it. And he sat down with the one who vets their science stuff and says, what's the problem here? He says, your arguments, he said, are rock solid. He says, so what's the problem? He says, we will become the laughing stock of the world if we publish it. He said, but you told me it's rock solid. He said, yes, but we will be considered now some sort of addition. I don't think it's crazy. I understand that. Society has ideas. Society has things that are accepted generally. It's very hard for new ideas to push themselves. Yes, we all function like that. And I tell people, Einstein was one in a million who people thought were crazy, but for every Einstein, there were 999,999 people that were crazy. So it's normal for society to have a sense of things. But understand, if a person does not have a taras hanefesh, if a person down deep I resist authority, down deep I resist restrictions on my life, down deep I resist things that are against what I have built up. So part of working for emunah onto emunah is a certain taras hanefesh, and that's why for a lot of people when they start living like a Jew, emunah comes together with it. Besides the fact that there's something which sort of self-proves in a certain sense, it's a life that I'm really beginning to feel different about, it also removes, if I ask somebody, okay, you're coming in, you'd like to believe in Torah, let me tell you a little bit about the consequence of that. What you're eating is going to taste one-tenth as good and cost 10 times as much, and be inaccessible most places. Who you marry, how you marry, what you do in that realm of life is going to be restricted 1,000 times over. I mean, there's a day of the week where you can't look at your emails, answer your phone, do anything except for daven and learn. We have some lovely holidays that you spend all day in shul davening and then some, and so on. I mean, you'd have to be kind of strange to want to buy into it. But when a person does it and it's okay, and now he's asking himself about it, he has the mindset. Understand that taharas hanefesh and a certain clearing of it, and understanding that also that we all think through what we've been taught. If you've been taught all your life that religious people are wackos and crazy and strange, it's not going to be easy. The mind is not objective. Don't say, oh well, but they said this, they're wrong, they said this, that. No, we think through our mind. Two, look at the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the outs. We have an infusion of emes. To the most secular person in the world, a parent's job is to give him his basic sense of right and wrong. And if a parent doesn't do that, he's not giving a blank slate. He's teaching a kid there's no right and wrong. If you tell a kid there is no right or wrong, you decide whatever it is, you're not helping the kid find it. That's also a statement. The statement is whatever you like at the age of 20 is fine. That's a statement. Understand that the lekeya vicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kibbut av ve'eim is the mitzvah that rests on the cusp between Adam Chaver and Adam Makom, because kibbut av ve'eim occupies two worlds, and kibbut aim and av in this world is part of this world. It's also the channel through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the giluyim, through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to us. So yes, this parasha is the parasha of the first revelation. It's for us, it should be a bedrock of understanding our personal revelations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reveal himself with that cold gadol and frightening voice to that it says over there, but he reveals himself in the sense of, in that deep voice in us, there is bad, right and wrong, duty, obligation, God. That's the vehicle come through. Bez Hashem, we should be zocher to have more taharas alev. We should be zocher more to listen to the call Hashem, and emuna is automatic through that. The more Torah our nefesh is, and the more we understand that tov and ra has to come in from the outside, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us to be makabel for it. Bez Hashem, the more we be zocher to emuna and a firm emuna and a good emuna Hashem. Another week of Mishnah until Wednesday night. I rented a apartment this time. I used
where?
In Ramat Eshkol. I took one of my nephews. I rented one of my nephews' apartments. And, how's it going here?
Thank you very much.
The recruiting environment is still challenging. You know, I'm sure you probably know about that. We are nourished by what happens on the ground roots, and it's not such a.
Yeah, and you're also very unaffiliated. You don't have a, like a vertical network.